In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. No. On, there we go. Off might be good. Feeling a little off, but that's okay. I think you're supposed to feel a little bit off in the midst of Holy Week. I feel exceptionally off in the midst of this Holy Week due to my travels, but as I was preparing for this evening, this sermon, I thought to myself, well, feeling a little off is okay. It happens in the church, and we have evidence of that right here in Paul's letter to the church in Corinth. They were a little off. I don't know if it's hard to catch on to that in the little bit that we have for us in our reading. It used to be longer, by the way. And, well, the new lectionary kind of cut it out. I guess it just wasn't friendly enough. And so, of course, I'm going to take you to the unfriendly part. So what's happening in the midst of all this with Paul is he's writing to the church in Corinth. They are supposedly gathering for the Lord's Supper, which we call Eucharist. And they're doing it in such a way that they've sort of lost their focus. It's turned into a bit of a party for those who have, and it's now beginning to exclude those who do not have. So people are coming and having a feast when they're supposed to be gathering as Jesus was gathered with his disciples and understanding the Last Supper. And they're coming and having a bit of a party, and those who have food to eat are eating it, and they're not sharing it with the ones that don't, and they're drinking a little too much. Maybe they're Episcopalian, I don't know. But the fact is, they had just lost their focus. And Paul's trying to call them back into it. And it kind of becomes that concept of familiarity breeds contempt. It becomes a thing. And then it became more of what they wanted it to be instead of paying attention to what it was. And so they were off a little bit. So in the small portion of the letter that we had today, Paul is talking about the institution of the Lord's Supper, which is what this evening is about, by the way, this understanding of the Last Supper. And he says this, "For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body that is for you. You do this in remembrance of me.'" There's some clarity there. And we have to stop and think, well, what exactly is this about? And this is, and even some translations have softened it a little bit. When he was betrayed, he took a loaf of bread, the night in which he was betrayed. Some translations have changed the word betrayed to something a little softer. But it's betrayed, brothers and sisters. These are his closest people. This is his group. These are his closest disciples, his trusted confidants, the ones who are by his side. And one of them is going to betray him, and he knows it. And he even knows which one. And what does he do? He invites him in and breaks this bread and says, "This is my body that is for you." Knowing full well that one of those sitting with him will betray him momentarily. This is the God we have. This is the Jesus we follow. This understanding that although he knows all that we are, and all that we aren't, even in this moment, when he instituted this Lord's Supper, even in that moment, he is offering himself to the one who will betray him. That is something to be remembered. And the church was forgetting. They were turning that gathering into a party for themselves. In the same way, he took the cup, also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. A covenant in his blood. Now, for the last couple of years, maybe you've been thinking about that differently. I have to remember that on your behalf. So for the last couple of years, up until a couple of weeks ago, I've stood at this altar and offered this cup, knowing full well I'm not going to give it to you. But now I can. And I think it matters. It has always mattered. This is the first century, brothers and sisters. This is how the church has always gathered. So when you're out there in the world and you're talking to other people in other churches, you go, why do you guys do all that stuff? Well, because this is what was done. This is what has always been done. We do something ancient here, and we should be glad of that. And if the modern world doesn't understand the ancient connection that we have with the church, help them find out. And I know they don't always get it, as I've told you once before, but as my homiletics professor once said, if it's worth telling, it's worth telling again. And this young man visited my parish down in Bradenton. He was from a non-denominational Baptist church. And and he came and he thought, oh, well, it was interesting. I said, well, what did you think? He goes, you know, I just didn't have the God moment. What? What do you mean you didn't have the God moment? Well, the problem is you couldn't find his way to worship because it was a pipe organ and a choir. And that was, just couldn't get him there. And as much as I appreciate music in many forms, we actually do this, and many of you here every Sunday with no music at all. And we still have a God moment. And if your case you're wondering what that God moment is, it is the Lord's Supper, that literally we build this building around it. That's why this is the highest point. We're reaching up. That's why the skylight is above the altar with the cross in between. This is where God literally reaches down and touches us physically. This is a God moment instituted by Jesus at the Last Supper, which we're looking at today. And we have to think to ourselves, what does it really mean to us? Well, what does it mean? It means no matter where you are and what you've done, in the fullness of understanding that we are not perfect and we aren't going to reach it in this life, but we should strive for it in light of the fact that we have a God that literally has offered his body to us, for us, and has made a covenant with us, with his blood. Now, maybe when you were a kid, you cut your finger and, became blood brothers or blood sisters or whatever. I guess we don't do that. We don't do that anymore. Things happen in life that we don't touch each other's blood anymore. But it probably shouldn't have then. But the reality is, it means something, right? It means something. That he has offered himself, the wholeness of himself, our God, to us, a damaged, broken, likely betraying people. And he offers it all, knowing full well we will fall short. And he offers himself anyway. And not only that, he says, do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. See, when he comes again, we won't do this anymore. Why? Well, because he'll be here. He'll be with us. We'll be worshiping him, seeing him, knowing him even more than we know now. But now we have this, the Lord's Supper that he instituted at the Last Supper, and that the church has been gathering for and celebrating since the first century. And we do the same thing. Those words probably sounded a little familiar, didn't they? Well, they should. It's our God moment. Absolutely everything we do is building up to it. Paul will go on, if you have the older lectionary, to say a couple of other things that are important. He'll say, examine yourselves and only then eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For all who eat and drink without discerning the body eat and drink judgment against themselves. For this reason, many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves, we would not be judged. We don't just wander up to this table, brothers and sisters. We come humbly to our God. What this is about, and what Paul is trying to explain to the church in the first century, so I guess if we've forgotten, we're in good company. I mean, some of them probably met Jesus. Maybe. We know Paul didn't, not face to face. Spiritually, he had quite the meeting. But this is our opportunity to stop, to say, who is this Jesus, God incarnate, that we are celebrating at this table? It's not just something to get done. It's not something that we should take lightly. It is literally an opportunity to be touched by God. His very presence in the bread and the wine. The bread broken for us. The blood poured out in covenant with us so that we can be so close to Him and reconciled to God that He is literally being taken in to our physical body. We should discern the body. We should be at peace with one another. We should be preparing for the God moment. And I know we enjoy the peace here, but it's literally an opportunity to make peace with those who are in the body with you that you maybe aren't at peace with. It's all part of the moment. We confess, we examine ourselves, we judge ourselves, we make peace with one another, and then we come to be touched by God with His very body and blood, broken and poured out to a broken, damaged people. And He does it knowing this, because no matter how much we become familiar with our process, even if it breeds contempt, even if it's just the next thing that we do, knowing full well that we're this close, got one more prayer and a hymn and we're having coffee, brothers and sisters, stop. What we do here is ancient. What we do here is what Jesus Himself instituted so that we could be so close with Him that we literally take Him in. That's the God we have. That's the God we have. He gives up all of Himself, and He asks the same of us in return. He asks us to serve His people, one another, to love one another as He loved us. And we gain the strength from Him to do it. And on this Maundy Thursday, we also gather to, well, those of us ordained in this tradition gather to remember who our Master is and who we serve. So I say, fellow servants of our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night before His death, Jesus set an example for His disciples by washing their feet, an act of humble service. He taught that strength and growth in the life of the kingdom of God come not by power, authority, or or even miracle, but by such lowly service. We all need to remember this example, but none stand more in need of this reminder than those whom the Lord has called to the ordained ministry. Therefore, I invite you, who share in the royal priesthood of Christ, to come forward, that I may recall whose servant I am, by following the example of my master. But come remembering his admonition that what will be done for you is also to be done by you to others. For a servant is not greater than his master, nor is one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. I invite you to come forward.